Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
The reality we live in can be a very strange place. Most of the time, fact being stranger than fiction. How will we ever start to understand this reality we live in unless we question everything? Join me and a guest as we unravel the mysteries of this reality, one topic at a time. This is Icarus, the reality with Shane Jones.
What is up, inquirers, and welcome to the expanse of deep open-minded conversation. I'm the one they call Shane, and today for you guys, we're going to dive into the extraterrestrial slash interdimensional aspect of things through one man's experiences that also played a huge role in his music creation, which, as everybody knows, and we talk about it regularly on the show, when it comes to extraterrestrials, interdimensionals, whatever these alien beings might be, it seems like it always comes down to vibration and frequency. So I figure this would be a perfect episode for that because it goes into that directly and the whole connection as far as musicians go and extraterrestrial contact. But before we get into this fascinating episode today, we of course have to do the news and updates and the front of house stuff. Number one piece of news and updates is I will be vending at Small Town Monster Fest 2. That'll be June 29th in downtown Canton, Ohio at the Doubletree by Hilton Hotel. Kids 12 and under are free. Everybody else, you guys got to make sure that you scoop your ticket for the event. And if you guys are planning on coming, let me know because I'd love to be able to know you guys by name and face and be able to point you out. And maybe you can even come over and hang out at the table with me. We're gonna have the full crew there this year. It's gonna be me, it's gonna be Oren, it's gonna be Jenny, it's gonna be Gabby, it's gonna be the kids. It's gonna be a lot of fun. Really looking forward to it, and I'm looking forward to seeing you guys out there. If you guys want to pick up tickets for yourself, you guys need any more info on it, everything is available down in the show description so that you guys can scoop that. And of course, make sure you guys mark your calendars. And moving to the front of house stuff, don't forget to follow Inquiries of All Reality and Open Minds Media on Instagram and Facebook if you guys aren't already. Greatly appreciate that. And you guys can also get updates on anything cool, interesting, and new going on with the show through that means. And for video content, you guys can go and follow Open Minds Media on YouTube and TikTok. And if you guys want to become a member of the Open Minds Media Discord, you guys can join the discussion and have fun with a big community of a lot of awesome people and keep expanding that community, of course, with you guys, because there's always room for you guys to come in and join the community. And if anybody has an encounter to report, no matter how big, no matter how small, you guys can report those to OMM Encounter Reports at Outlook.com. And
depending on how many I get, you guys can send them in as text. You guys can even record yourself and send that in too. I want to be able to do some compilation episodes as far as being able to throw in ideas, possibly even kind of mixing it up with Bizarre Encounters so that Oren can hop in on that one and throw some of his ideas on a bunch of the different stuff that you guys are experiencing. But even beyond that, of course, if you guys just want to have somebody to talk to about your experience and you don't want it to be talked about on the internet anywhere, that's totally okay too. I am here to be a listening ear for you guys to help you sort out your experiences in your head. And if you guys are close enough, maybe I can even personally come out and investigate it for you guys. But none of that will happen unless you guys report your encounters to OMMEncounterReports@outlook.com or go to the link tree, fill this submission form that specifically says report an encounter. And if you guys aren't already listening to my other show, Bizarre Encounters, highly recommend that you do. A lot of fun over there with Oren, my co-host. A little bit different than this show as far as it's us deep diving into a bunch of different topics. There are some interviews in the mix, but the format's completely different. If you guys enjoy our banter back and forth, then you guys will definitely enjoy Bizarre Encounters. And we also do another side show off of that called Bizarre Inquiries, where we take your guys' listener questions and let our minds wander past that. Usually it is dropped once a month on the main feed. The rest of them are a Patreon exclusive, but we're always taking questions in for that. So if you guys have any questions that you guys would like us to discuss, you guys can send those to me through email, Instagram, Facebook, any means of getting a hold of me. But we want to make sure that we get those Bizarre Encounters and we can keep expanding the show and getting you guys involved with that. And if you guys want to support the show, a couple different ways to do so. Number one is to go and join the Patreon over there. I recently updated the tiers a couple weeks ago, so there's a lot of new benefits for the lower tiers and for the higher tiers. There is also a 7-day free trial for the $3 tier and the $5 tier, so definitely worth going and checking out. And another way you guys can support the show is through the OMM merch store. Over there, you'll get things for Bizarre Encounters, Inquiries of Our Reality, Bizarre Inquiries, and a bunch of other different designs that I do that are non-podcast related, of course. And if you guys want to, if you guys use code CRYPTID10, you guys will receive 10% off of your order until the end of April. And if you guys go and join the Patreon, there are exclusive merch store discount codes depending on which tier you pick. So the higher the tier, the bigger the discount. So definitely worth going and checking out. And if anybody is interested in podcast production services, you guys can shoot me a message through Open Minds Media. Whether you're just starting a podcast, you want to start a podcast, you already have a podcast, I'm here to hopefully make your job easier, give you some advice, steer you in the right direction. And then another thing that I was going to try to expand into doing is for all the authors out there, if anybody is interested in having an audiobook produced, that is something that I would definitely love to be able to try to do. So if anybody's interested in that, hit me up. I can add background sound effects. I can record it in my voice, your voice, any voice that you guys want. So make sure you guys get a hold of me for all that stuff, because it greatly helps me out as far as financial stuff goes. And I got to give a shout out to all of the sponsors / friends in the community. Guys, if you haven't already checked out I Know Squatch, definitely go check them out for all of your squatchy gear needs. Always dropping new stuff. It seems like almost every week there's something new. So if you don't see anything you like currently, give it another week and I guarantee you there'll be something else on there that you might really, really dig. And you guys can also go and check out Joe over there at Cryptotheology for all of your wearable cryptid favorites done in a 90s kind of comic book style. A lot of my closet consists of I Know Squatch, Cryptotheology. So if you guys ever see me posting pictures and you guys like my t-shirts, guarantee you it comes from one of those two. So definitely worth going and checking out. And Snarly Yow. Don't forget to go and check out Snarly Yow for a line of fantastic smoky cedar with a hint of mint, beard oil, beard balm, body wash, and beard shampoo. All natural products. I love it. I use it almost every single day for my beard. And I gotta say, my beard gets softer and softer each day. And not only that, but Dave, a.k.a. Snarly Yow, puts on a lot of fantastic cryptid-related events near the West Virginia area. Most of the time, admission is free to all the events that he throws. So if you guys are somewhat near the West Virginia area, make sure you guys go and check out his calendar to see what events he's throwing on. One of which is the Cryptid Halloween that will be going on in October. Oren and I will both be there. We will be vending, we will be speaking, and we'll also be emceeing the event. So make sure you guys mark your calendars and come and hang out with us for that, of course. And moving into the affiliate links, for anybody that hasn't checked out the newest sponsor of the show, Oregonite, make sure you guys check him out. He creates a lot of fantastic pieces. Recently sent me a shipment of a couple different pyramids. I think that they are absolutely breathtaking as far as the work that he puts into these things. And if anybody wants to pick one up for themselves, you guys can use code OMM at checkout to receive 10% off. And of course, make sure you guys use the affiliate link, which is down in the show description. And to all the paranormal investigators out there, don't forget to go and check out the Chattergeist. It is the all-in-one paranormal investigating device, my absolute favorite. I recently had Barry on Bizarre Encounters. If you guys want to check out all the different stuff that he has working as far as the Chattergeist, all of the new updates, modifications, all of that awesome stuff. And if you guys decide to scoop one for yourself, make sure you guys use the affiliate link, and that goes back towards the show and helps me out greatly. And if you guys have any technical questions before you make that purchase, Barry is the one that runs the Dimension Devices Instagram page, so you guys can hit him up and he'll be able to answer any of your guys' technical questions. And every single thing that I mention is all available in the link tree, which is available down in the show description. And with that, let's get into the show. Please welcome to the show, Kevin Estrella from Pyramids on Mars. How's it going today, man?
I'm doing excellent. How are you doing, Shane? Glad to be on. Thank you.
Oh, yeah. I actually met you through another person, and it was one of those things that we're supposed to do a combined show, and they didn't end up kind of coordinating back and forth with us. So we kind of fell into a weird spot where this was like something that was almost like unplanned, but I'm super excited for it, considering that you said a lot of your stuff links in with your music and your personal experiences with, I guess I'll just leave that for the get listeners to be excited about. But yeah, looking really forward to it, man. It sounds like it's definitely going to be something interesting to talk about. So I guess a good spot to start might be, for anybody that may not be familiar with who you are, what you do, what Pyramids on Mars is, why don't you let them know a little bit about your background and a little bit about what you do?
Sure. I'm Kevin Estrella from the band Pyramids on Mars. You can find me at www.pyramidsonmars.com. Instrumental rock from the musical Red Planet. Music is in the style of Joe Satriani, but I have my own twist on things. What's more important is I'm a extraterrestrial experiencer, and my ET experiences are very entwined with my music, more so in the sense of that I actually have extraterrestrial teachers. The Ponte, as you can see behind me, that's Tilkum. He's the commander of the Ponte, and that's Drudy up there. Who are the Ponte? The Ponte are Zetas from Zeta Reticuli 2, which is the farthest of the binary system. Their planet is about 40 light years away. It's the planet Pontel. Now, they reside at an information station under the Sandia Mountains in Albuquerque, New Mexico. And it's an interesting story of how I was introduced to them, but it's even more interesting about how I discovered my mission, my pre-life agreements to what my mission is on this planet and what it is that I'm doing, and that the work that I do for the Federation, basically.
Just out of curiosity, did you actually paint those pictures or draw those pictures yourself? Because I'm just kind of curious if they're like your exact representation of what the beings that you saw.
No, I did not paint these. I did not draw these portraits myself. These are actually drawn by Sue Walker, and she is the telepath for the Ponte. So it's a long story, but she's a professional telepath. She has been for her whole life. She has done lots of work for the FBI and other three-letter institutions. She's actually been featured on a couple TV shows, too, with the work that she's done. But she was introduced to the Ponte about 8 years ago by accident when she and her husband were watching The Voice, and we were watching one of the singers, and they thought that he was really good. And then all of a sudden, this telepathic voice spoke from the mountain saying, yeah, he was pretty good. He should win. And they were like, did you hear that? And I heard that, because they're both, you know, they're both telepathic. Her husband's a shaman. And the long and short of it is Tilkum eventually introduced himself to Sue, and Sue has been doing work for them ever since. So she actually runs they're actually using Twitter. So if you want to speak to real extraterrestrials, go to @SandiaWisdom on Twitter. I've been following them for 7 years every single day, and they have been sharing their culture, what's happening with our planet, and with the sun and the changes on the planet, and just any other questions that people have. So definitely it's, you know, it's worth checking out. But they became my teachers, particularly Tini and Thera. But yeah, we'll get into that a little bit later on.
So where did it all kind of start for you, as far as, like, I'm sure it all, like, you collaborates into where the music kind of flowed for you, and I want to definitely get into your music a little bit too, but where did everything kind of, like, what was your starting point where you started kind of getting down this path towards your mission?
Really, it started August 21st 2014, and something very special happened on that day. Now, at this point, I had just released my first album, Pyramids on Mars. And the whole intention behind my music was I wanted to raise the awareness of the extraterrestrial presence with people. And I thought that, because I knew that there were pyramids on Mars, I thought that was a perfect name, a really cool name for a band to help awaken people. But what happened, August 21st, 2014, I went out onto my deck. I live in Hamilton, Ontario. And it was 10:30 at night, and I just stepped onto my deck. And just as I stepped onto my deck, within 5 to 7 seconds, there was my neighbor on my right hand side. I live in a subdivision in a very busy part of Hamilton, just off of one of the main freeways. All of a sudden, this object comes out from behind the tree of my neighbor's place. It was maybe 100 yards away. It was right behind the tree. So it wasn't in front of the tree. It wasn't in the other side of the tree. It was right behind the tree within my line of sight, and it came out slowly. And what it was a glowing disc. It was a big glowing disc. It was orangish red, glowing like coals, and it was moving. It was only at like 100 yards away. It was really close, and it was maybe only 125 feet off the ground, and it was moving about the speed of what you'd see a helicopter. But when it came out, I didn't know what I was looking at. I thought there was a meteor. I honestly thought that it was a meteor that was moving across the sky, because it was orangish red, glowing like coals, but it had this mist that was going off the top of it and along the bottom of it, like almost like smoke or mist. I couldn't figure out what the heck it was. It looked like it was like smoking and on fire. And I'm looking at this thing. It's going right across my backyard, right directly across my backyard. I'm looking at it going, what the heck is that? What is that? And the other thing that this thing displayed that was really strange was that it looked two-dimensional. So it had height and width, but it had no depth. It looked like a hole in the sky. It looked like a piece of paper. It was that flat. It didn't look like anything real. But I knew that it was real. And it moved across the sky, and then it started to turn away from me towards Binbrook. And then as it turned away, the light source of that orangish red glow disappeared. And then all I could see was a black object that looked like almost like a football. So I got to see its front and back. It looked like a football shape, and it was moving away with this kind of white swirling vortex in front of it. I was completely freaked out. I was at that point that I realized that I saw an actual UFO, but it was so close. I've never seen a UFO, like I've never seen anybody have a UFO encounter that close for how close it was. And I was freaked the hell out, because I had always wanted to have, hope to have an ET encounter in my life, or a UFO encounter. And then when it actually happened, my paradigms were shattered, and I was like completely upset for 2 weeks. I was trying to wrap my head around the physics of what I saw, because it didn't make any sense. I'd never seen anything like this.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio.
See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
And we are back, so let's hop right in.
Anyway, to speed things up, I sent a report to MUFON, the Mutual UFO Network, and it would be almost about 8 months later when everything would come together. So then it's the following year, it's the summer, so it's almost a year later, and it's the first UFO convention in Canada, I believe it was. It was the Alien Cosmic Expo in Brantford, and it took out two pages of the Hamilton Spectator newspaper. And then when I was looking at it, they were talking about all the researchers who were going to be there. And I recognized Stanton Friedman. He was going to be there. And Paul Hellyer, former defeat chief of defense. And then they talked about Grant Cameron, UFO researcher from Winnipeg, award-winning UFO researcher. But then when I read what his presentation was on, that's when I was freaked out. It said, extraterrestrials and musicians, and how musicians are being contacted by extraterrestrials to raise the consciousness of people about the UFO presence and ET presence. And when I read that, I was like, oh my God, this is about me.
It's a synchronicity.
I was only doing this. It was the first synchronicity of my entire life. Nothing had like this had ever happened. And I was like freaking out going, there's something much bigger going on here than me. Like other musicians have been contacted by ETs, and this is a phenomenon. So I knew that I had to go to this Expo, and I had to meet Grant Cameron, because there was something about this that was going on with my UFO encounter. And this, it was like, I felt like one of Jesus' disciples. When you're called, you're called. And so I'm driving to this thing, and I felt like it was so surreal. It's like you're living in a movie almost. And then when I finally get the Alien Cosmo Expo, I happened to catch Grant just before he went on stage, and I handed him my CD, my first CD. He looked at it, Pyramids of Mars. He looks up at me and says, we got to talk. And I said, yeah, we do. And then his presentation was on how many other musicians have been contacted by extraterrestrials. You know, we're talking about like David Bowie, all the members of Yes, the Moody Blues, Al Jurgensen from Ministry, Ace Frehley from Kiss. It's endless. You know, so many musicians have been contacted by ETs. And then Grant started talking about music downloads and how so many musicians will get song downloads in dreams where they don't even feel like they're writing the music, and the music just comes to them, and it's coming from some other consciousness.
You get that with inventors too.
With inventors too. Mm-hmm. Yes, exactly. Because they're tapping into the collective consciousness, almost like the Akashic Records, and you become a co-creator with the collective consciousness. The reason I'm saying this, like Grant didn't talk about that, but that coincides with the Ponte, because that's what they were teaching me. They taught me the same thing as what Grant Cameron was talking about the nature of creativity, but what the Ponte called it, they called it the edge of the black. So they said, you go to the edge of the black of the universe where nothingness and everything exists. Turn around and wait for the next song to be sung to you. And then you add your emotional impact and your creative impact, and you become a co-creator with the collective consciousness. And this is the phenomenon that a lot of writers get. It happens with musicians, with art, people who write books and stuff like that, where they tap into this other consciousness, which to become kind of a co-creator with other beings. So, and it's all it's a real magical thing. So Grant Cameron was kind of talking about that, but from his perspective of how he had researched all this stuff. And so afterwards, I went to MUFON was next door. They had a booth set up. Then I happened to catch Stu Bundy, who was the guy who took my report. And I walked up to him And I had drawn pictures of the UFO that I had seen, and he had his back turned, and I just casually took them out, and I just put them on the table there. He turns around, he looks at me, looks down at the pictures, looks back up at me, and realizes who I was, and he says, "Oh my gosh, I'm so glad you're here. We're doing a presentation on you tomorrow." And I'm like, "What?" He says, "Yeah." He says, your UFO sighting was one of the most authentic close counters that we've ever had." And he said, "Once again, can you describe to me what the craft looked like when it was moving away?" And I said, "Yeah, you know, like when it was coming across the backyard, it was orangish red and glowing like this. And then as it turned, that light source kind of disappeared and it was just a black object." And he went, "That's it." He says, we knew that immediately once you described that, you were looking at an object that was radiating plasma. And plasma can only be seen by certain angles. And then when you turn the angles, that plasma stream disappears. He says, "We were checking out everything in that for anomalies that night, whether it could have been a moon or a meteor or whatever. Nothing was ever reported on that day. And your description fits an actual physical object in the sky. So yours is a very authentic case." And I was just like relieved at that. And I thought it was just amazing. But then I asked the question, and this was the question that would scare the crap out of me. I said, "Okay, how many other people reported it? Because there must have been dozens. Because it was like only 10:30 at night. It was above a very busy subdivision off of one of the busiest streets in Hamilton. So there must have been like, you know, dozens of people who witnessed this and reported it." And he said, "Well, that's the thing. Nobody else reported it. Nobody else saw it." And I'm like thinking, no, that's impossible. That's impossible. There's no way. And then I was getting scared. It didn't make sense. I was freaking out, going like, how can I be the only one who saw this thing? And so I grabbed Grant. I finally got a hold of him, and he says, "Yeah, we'll go have a coffee and we'll talk about it." And he says, "Yeah, I was at the MUFON presentation. I saw your presentation and what you saw." And so I sit down, we sit down for a coffee. And I tell him the whole thing again. I said, "And MUFON's telling me, you know, that I'm the only person who saw the craft." And just nonchalant, Grant just says, "Yeah, that happens all the time." And I'm like, "What do you mean it happens all the time?" He says, "Yeah, one person to see a UFO and nobody else seen it. It happens all the time. It's called the Oz effect." And I'm like, "What is the Oz effect?" He says, "Basically, they have the ability of being able to shut people down to be able to have interactions with the people who they want to have interactions with." The same thing happened to John Lennon in New York City, where he said he was close enough he could have thrown a brick at the UFO that he saw, and he was standing on his balcony screaming at everybody to stand outside, and nobody came outside. It was silent. It was dead silence. Nobody came out. He was so frustrated that he wrote a song saying, "I saw a UFO in New York City and nobody cares." So, and then he's described about somebody else who were chased down a highway on a, you know, busy freeway by a UFO. And then when Grant asked him about that freeway, he says, is it always busy? He says, "Yeah, there's always cars. It's like a crazy busy highway. But now that you mention it, when that UFO was chasing us, the highway was completely empty on both sides. There was nobody there." And I've talked to other people who had the same experiences, very similar to that. And so Grant turned to me and says, "Kevin, they're in direct contact with you." And I'm just like, I didn't know what to make of it. Like, why me? Like, why me? And these answers would come, you know, things would start to come piecing together much later, you know, very, very soon. And I started to meet with other experiencers. And I learned a lot from these people like Solaris Blue Raven, Michael Lee Hill. And I learned that I'm actually a starseed. So my origins are not from this planet. And I was able to basically reverse engineer my life to the point where I realized this truth to be. Because I've never felt like I was from here. I knew back in the year 2000 that my purpose was to educate people about the extraterrestrial presence. I remember going in my backyard asking for them to say, "I'm here to help. I'm ready. Please, what am I supposed to do?" I just knew it. But I had to wait 14 more years until I was activated, which was that activation, that the mission was to begin. The other synchronicity with this, that it's not BS, is because I've met other people, other experiencers, like Elizabeth April. She's well known. And I met her in 2017. And when I asked her about when her mission was activated, and she said, August of 2014. And I'm like, you too? Yeah. So you can't make this stuff up. Okay. So fast forwarding, I eventually was introduced by a friend to the Ponte. He told me, you know, did you realize that there's a group of extraterrestrials using Twitter? And I was like, no way. He says, yeah, at Sandia Wisdom. And so I started following them on Twitter. And I didn't really, you know, I didn't write anything. I was just observing and, you know, reading their tweets. And at that point, there was only four of them who were on Twitter. It was Tilkum, the commander, Drudy up there. She's public relations. She's female. And there's Tani. She's female. She's a bit older. Very wise lady. And then Radar. He's my buddy, actually. Radar is public relations. So he has watched every single TV show and movie that has to do with extraterrestrials, trying to understand what people's understanding is of the extraterrestrial presence. He's also a fantastic pilot. He's a daredevil. he also gets himself into a lot of trouble, doing things that he's not supposed to. That's why he's been given the name Brinkman, so AKA Brinkmanship. But he and I have become pals. You know, I've actually gave him guitar lessons. I've hung out with him. A lot of my memories, like I know that Ponte have picked me up at least three or four dozen times, maybe even more than that, because I find evidence in my bed in the morning the next day of strange things like obsidian, black obsidian glass, and other strange anomalies that weren't there. And one time my bed sheets were covered in like red dust. And we still don't know whether that's red dust from Albuquerque, New Mexico, or whether they took me to Mars. I have no idea. But Tani, one day she was talking to me and she was saying, Kevin, do you realize that music can be communicated at a telepathic level? And I was like, I didn't know this. And basically she was insinuating that I was already doing this since the inception of my first Pyramids of Mars album, but I just wasn't really aware of it. And so I asked her if you can help me to, you know, hone this skill to develop it more. And she said yes. And so, you know, I was getting a lot of downloads from the Ponte. So, you know, when people talk about like getting downloads from extraterrestrials, it's a real phenomenon. The movie The Matrix, when Neo's like, you know, puts that plug in and all of a sudden, I know Kung Fu. This is real stuff. This is real extraterrestrial technology. They can do this kind of stuff. And so during like 2018, I was getting a lot of downloads from the Ponte. The reason I knew that I was getting downloads is because the symptoms were always the same. So I would wake up in the morning and I would feel kind of like my head would feel a little bit heavy. But then by about 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock in the afternoon, my head feels like soggy cotton. I am absolutely exhausted. I can't even stay awake. I can't concentrate. I'll fall asleep at my desk, and I'm just totally exhausted. So by the time I get home, I would lie on the couch, and then I end up doing like a reboot nap, where it literally is what it sounds like, where you close your eyes, and all of a sudden your consciousness just drops. And then you're basically, it's like your brain is rebuilding all these new neural connections. So these downloads were going on for quite a long time. And but I was developing my telepathic abilities with my guitar playing. And then they did something to me. They did a physical enhancement on me. And so one day Sue said that you're on the schedule for pickup. You'll know that that they visited because something will be out of place in your apartment.
We will be right back after this brief commercial break, so stay tuned.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
And we are back, so let's hop right in.
So 2 weeks later, I remember waking up in the middle of the night, and my bedroom, I was like, my apartment has like 14-foot ceilings, and my bedroom is actually above my kitchen. So it's like a small loft up there. And I was looking down into my room, and I couldn't see anybody, but I definitely felt there was a presence there. And then around 6 o'clock in the morning, I was awoken to the feeling of warm liquid draining out of my left ear, pouring out of my ear, like if I had gone swimming and the water drip, pours out your ear. It bothered me, and I was like rubbing my ear going, what the heck was that? I wake up in the morning, and then I go to work and come back home. Didn't think much of it. And then I'm walking around towards my computer, and I notice I have this statue on the wall of this guitar player, like this wooden statue of a guitar player, and he was facing the wall. And I was thinking, I didn't do that. The heck is going on here? And then all of a sudden I remembered, what Sue said about something being out of place. And I was like, oh my gosh, I think they may have come. And then I speak to my friend, who's the one who introduced me to Ponte, and he was talking about how Drudy was over at his place at that point, and she was waiting for him to go to sleep because she had to do a procedure with him to remove, quote, black goo. And then all of a sudden, I was thinking, wait a second. I was thinking about that, what happened with my ear, wondering because of what he was describing about, stuff being put into your body. And then I ran up to my pillow, and there on my pillowcase where my ear was this reddish brown stain. So whatever they did to me, he said, yes, the last part's supposed to drain out of your ears. And so for the next 7 days, my body was exfoliating all this stuff. My urine smelled like ammonia and like metals and stuff like that. And it was just disgusting. My body was like exfoliating this stuff. And my ears were really sensitive. My brain was feeling very sensitive. But then by day 7, all of a sudden, my consciousness completely opened up. Like, my brain, I could focus on different areas of my brain and light parts of my brain up. I could just think about this part and light it up, and think about this part, light it up. I could focus on my pineal gland and light it up. Whatever they did, they completely removed all the poisons and metals that they put into our foods that dumb us down to make us into literally zombies. Like, our food is poison. And they removed all the calcium, all the fluoride from my pineal gland. And they cleaned everything out. And my consciousness was really, really clear, like it had never been before. And then about a month later, the Ponte repeated that process and did the whole thing again. Another stain on my pillow. And I actually cut the pillow cases out and cut those little pieces. And I put them in bags to save them as evidence. But after that second clearing, my consciousness was really clear. And the Ponte said, oh, we can really hear you now. So what they had done was they basically increased my telepathic projection by clearing out my brain. So now when I play my guitar on a telepathic level, they really hear me clearly. And this gets even crazier, where one song that I was working on, I'm going to back up a bit. Another one of my teachers, her name is Thera, and she came to Earth about 2018, and the Ponte, they all have like specialties. You know how like, people have like, directions in their career. So they become like a doctor, a lawyer, pediatrician, whatever. Well, the Ponte are like that too, but their specialties are quite unique. And Thera, her specialty is on the tonal language of the cetaceans and the whales. So cetaceans and the whales have a very complex telepathic tonal language. This language is known throughout the galaxies for millions of years. In fact, there are many star nations who come to Earth who go not to visit humans, they go to talk to the whales, because the whales have knowledge that has passed them, passed down for millions of years. They are like the keepers of this planet with the information that they have about our the history of our planet. And they are the whales are really very, very special.
I mean, look at their life expectancy. It's usually around like 200 years. So just imagine how much knowledge you could collect over 200 years, and then how easy it would be to pass that down through centuries because of having a 200-year lifespan. I mean, that's even crazy to think about all on its own.
Yeah, and they sing to each other, and so they're constantly sharing these stories and information with all the other pods. So this information is very verbal, just like, you know, just like the indigenous, you know, people of the Americas, where their stories are told verbally from generation to generation to generation. They never write them down, which is really a sad thing. But, you know, it's a very vocal kind of thing. But the whales are the same way. And so I asked Thera if I could, you know, learn this tonal language of the whales. And she said yes. And so one time they gave me this massive download. And it was the biggest download I ever got. It took me 3 days to recover from it. But then I was working on my third album, The Edge of the Black, which is the name that Ponte gave my album because of the nature of the rating of that album. As I explained, The Edge of the Black is their description of the creative process of becoming one with the collective consciousness. And so I was working on a song called Naf Waffen, which it's a dedication to the Secret Space Program people, because I have friends, because of the, you know, the circle that I'm in, mm-hmm. I have actually friends who were ex-SSP people. And I was writing a song for Penny Bradley called Naf Waffen, which is, you know, their German group. And when I was working on, like, my music's all instrumental, and I was working on the main melody of this song, had it on a loop, and was working with it until I synchronized the melody that I was feeling and hearing until it merged with exactly how I was getting it from the universe. And it was just very strange. It had this long pauses and bends, and it just sounded like almost like a whale, actually. And I recorded the demo. And Shane, within 20 minutes of recording the demo, I get a text message from Sue Walker in Albuquerque. She said, "Kevin, I was just contacted by Tani and Thera, the Ponte. And they said, whatever you were just playing up there, not only did they hear it telepathically, but they said that you accessed the tonal language download that they had given you with the with the length of the notes and the timelessness and everything like that. You accessed it." And I was like, "What?" And they said, "Yeah." And so then I'm working on the song, and I finally finished the song. And I'm probably going to get emotional here, just warning you. And the song is mixed, mastered. It's Christmas Eve, and I'm listening to the song. And after the sixth listen, all of a sudden, I hear that melody. And I hear a translation. The melody was actually saying something. The melody was saying, "Do you hear me?" The musical melody, I heard, all of a sudden I hear a translation that said, "Do you hear me?" And I stand up and I scream, "Oh my God, I'm saying, do you hear me?" And I put my head down and I'm crying because I knew it. I knew it was right. I just, all of a sudden I heard it. I couldn't not hear it. And then I contacted Sue and I told her, "Sue, you're not going to believe what just happened." I said, "That melody that Sini and Thera heard, it has a translation. It says, do you hear me?" And there's a pause. And then all of a sudden Sue types back. She says, "I'm hearing clapping and cheering coming from the mountain. You're right." And they said, and Thera, by that time, she was in New Zealand. There's a UFO underwater base there. And they said, they're sending the message back to Thera at the aquatic station. "But congratulations, you cracked the code. And as far as they know, I'm the first human to speak a tonal language in the music. And so that was an incredible breakthrough. I cannot make this up. That song, so when you listen to that melody, it actually is speaking tonal language of saying, do you hear, bracket, me? It's a, you know, it assumes that you're, you know, speaking about me. So that was just incredible. And so, you know, the Ponte have been amazing teachers for me, teaching me telepathic communication, teaching me tonal language. And I have many Pyramids of Mars concerts here in my condo. And also I had them over at the apartment. And the Ponte do show up. I play the shows for the Ponte. I've probably done at least a dozen or more concerts for them. And I never see them because they're always invisible. But there's always some signs that they were here because they move stuff. You know, I've got some crystals up here on my desk. And before the show, I'm in my bedroom and I'm telling them, you guys make yourself at home and you'll be playing very soon. And then when I walk in the room, I walk over and my crystals are exactly in the same spot all the time. And they'll be moved. They'll be moved over and then something else will be put down on the table below. And I live alone. Nobody lives. Nobody's here. And they do that. Another time, I had a bench that was like next to my TV. And after the show, there was this huge body mark of somebody's back against my TV. It wasn't there before. So they've done these things where they show, you know, physical evidence that they're actually here for the show. In addition to that, another special thing that happened was one time during one of the shows I was playing for them, I walk over to my computer to hit the play button because I play along with the music that comes through on my monitors. And then here on the floor, right in front of my desk, is this black silk ribbon. And I'm like, where the heck did this come from? Because I don't have ribbons around here. This is like a black silk ribbon, like a woman's ribbon that she would like tie around her neck or something like that. And I realized that I found out afterwards, it was one of the Ponte girls had brought that and left it there for me as a gift, a token of appreciation. And when Sue tried to get information about it, nobody would speak up about it. But when I talked to my friend about it, the one who introduced me to Ponte, he said that was highly against regulations, that they're not supposed to do that. Somebody would get in big trouble for doing that. So there's a lot of risk that they took in order to do that. And I still have that black ribbon. I have it hanging on my door. And it means so much to me what they've done. I mean, the Ponte, they drop by here every week. They're here weekly. You know, they're cultural explorers. You know, I play my PS4, you know, and they'll come behind me and they'll bump the back of the coach to let me know that they're actually watching. They love watching me play PS4. You know, some of the games they love watching me play is like Spider-Man. And, recently I've been playing for the last year and a half, Last of Us series. So Last of Us 1 and Last of Us 2. And it's, you know, it's like a zombie game. And Ponte love that game. They get scared of crap. They love getting the crap scared out of them. And they'll bump the back of the couch when like a zombie breaks from the wall and tries to attack me. They get freaked out by that kind of stuff and they love it.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back. And we are back. So let's hop right in.
So, you know, but getting back to the Pyramids of Mars concerts, they give me critiques on how I'm doing. And, you know, when I do a show here, it's a full show. I mean, I've got banners that are up in the back. So I got full banners. I got stage lights. I dress up, full dress up, makeup and everything like that. And I play my heart out to them. And they always say that, you know, my telepathic projection is amazing. My playing is amazing. But I need to work on my dance moves.
They got to throw something
in
there.
They're always critiquing my dance moves. And the reason for that is because they love to dance. The Ponte, they're cultural explorers, but they love to dance. They have dance rehearsals every weekend in the hangar bay. So they learn different dances. You know, we're talking like, you know, every kind of style of dance you could think of that people do, whether it be an African dance, whether it be like a 1930s, you know, line dance, break dancing. Ballroom dancing. They love flamenco dancing. Everything. They do all kinds of dances. And sometimes they even have like talent shows, you know, where they will do, you know, special dances and everybody like, you know, does their thing and you'll find out who wins at the end. But
Do they do that more so out of like a universal language type of thing where they kind of see it as like, I'm assuming that almost every intelligent species has some form of like dance. So they kind of see it as a universal language. So in turn, it's like important for them to learn.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Like dance is very important. Music to them is very important. I mean, people think that the, you know, the Zetas, the Greys are like biological robots with no soul and you know, follow some kind of hive mind. Absolutely not correct. You have to realize that there are at least seven different Zeta races who visit this planet. And I know that Tilkum has even said that there's, you know, one particular group that are actually manufactured here on Earth who work with like the Black Ops. And those are more like soulless canisters. They're more like robots, like biological robots. And he says they are the aliens, not us. So the Ponti are—they're not much different than us. Even physically, they all have physical different characteristics. They have—you know—they all look different, like we look different. So not one Ponti looks the same as the other. Sure, they don't have any hair. Sure, they have, you know, big black eyes. Well, actually, those lenses are actually just like visors. You know, like how an alligator has like a lens that comes up to protect its eyes. That's all they are. So underneath those, they have very big irises with beautiful colors, eyes. Gorgeous. They're gorgeous. And the Ponti women are beautiful. And they have so much that they want to, you know, to teach us and learn from us. And they love our culture. They love our dances. They are trying to protect our culture because our planet is in dire straits. We are in the middle of an extinction level event, and they know it. And that's the reason why they are trying to speed up official first contact, because we are running out of time. And it may come down to it where our planet may not be here much longer. It could be that bad. If there's a bad enough of a micronova, which is going to happen, that in the worst case scenario, it could fry everything on the planet's surface. And that's why they're encouraging everybody to go underground. Why do you think all these celebrities are building bunkers? Why do you think the military has all these underground dumps? Because they know this. They're anticipating the sun is going to go micronova. And they've already selected who's going to survive this. They have tunnels that run all the United States. They have subway systems that run all the United States to survive this, this up and coming disaster. Why have they not told everybody in the service? Because they want the planet depopulated. They want the planet depopulated. Why do you think, the World Economic Forum has made it, so clear that they want to get the population down to 500 million? It's not bullshit. That's true.
It's the Great Reset. That's what they're trying to reset everybody.
It's the Great Reset. That's right. That's what they want. And so they know that these disasters are coming. The Ponti knows these disasters are coming. And they want to help people, but we have to give them permission. So that's the whole thing. So the Federation, the Ponti are not in charge of it. It's the Federation's actually in charge of official first contact. I know the Ponti are very frustrated. They want an OFC to happen now. But it's the Federation who's, watching things for when things have to go. I don't know what's going to happen. I really don't. But I got a feeling that something big is going to happen very, very soon. So whether that's, we have a micronova, and then they select, I know they have large, massive large ships that are hiding behind Neptune, which are equivalent of the Red Cross, to be able to rescue people. So a lot of people will be, a lot of people, chosen people will be rescued for the planet, but they cannot rescue all 8 billion of us. So Ponti said, some of you, they said, appreciate every sunset, every sunrise, appreciate every rainfall, because one day you might wake up on another planet. You won't even see it happening. So there's a lot that's at stake.
Just out of curiosity, So considering that you kind of had your, like, the UFO experience where it almost seemed kind of 2D and these things don't necessarily, like, physically, like, present themselves to you, being that, again, they are from somewhere else in the universe, do you get into, like, the whole, like, multidimensional concept that these things might be something that's from that location in the universe, but rather like a higher dimension, which is why they can't interact with us the same way that we would imagine them to interact with us. And that could also be partly why they're trying to elevate the vibration to make it so that maybe we can get to a point where we can physically see them. And I mean, even with like the world possibly being destroyed, I mean, even with it, with human intervention, that's definitely something possible. And especially when you get into something that's nuclear, created from the sun / nuclear weapons, for example, I feel like that's some stuff that radiates into other dimensions in reality. It's not just something that's going to affect our reality, where like if we blow something up nuclear, then it might affect the next couple dimensions over. So in turn, if there are any of them existing on this planet, even if we can't physically see them, but they're existing in a higher dimensional reality, then they're still going to run the risk of being destroyed, which is why, again, you see with a lot of this like UFO stuff that they more often than not, anytime there's something weird going on nuclear wise, they seem to be somewhat around it, keeping an eye on it, making sure that it doesn't get out of hand, or they'll shut off reactors, like whatever is necessary for them to be able to stop that kind of stuff.
No, you're absolutely 100% correct. There are multiple dimensions that are existing simultaneously in our space. There could be other cities, you know, existing in our space at the same time. When these nuclear bombs do go off, they affect all these dimensions. So we are affecting not just ours, we are affecting ripples within ripples of other dimensions. We have no idea of the destruction that we are doing and how dangerous it is of these games that we're playing with nuclear weapons. And, you know, I know that there are multiple dimensions to existence. I think there's like up to 12 different dimensions. The Ponte are able to switch dimensions. Like they are physical beings, but they can also switch as well. I mean, like, I don't know how they show up here where I don't see them, but they will bump the back of the couch. Or sometimes they have showed up, you know, I'll be sleeping and they will show up there. Where one time I woke up, or I wasn't awake. I was like in the alpha theta state. So I wasn't asleep, but I wasn't awake. And I felt six hands resting on me. It was the Ponte. They were surrounding me and they had their hands resting on me. And the person, one of the people next to me, was kind of brushing my arm like this. And I could hear them kind of like talking to themselves. I could hear this telepathically. And I heard somebody say, he's not quite asleep. And then I can hear them walking around in my bedroom. I can hear this telepathically though. It's all telepathic. So it's almost like they're in a different dimension while walking around. Like it's fast, you know, pitter patter. And then I could hear somebody, I have a didgeridoo, you know, in my corner of my room, and I could hear somebody had picked it up and it grinded across the wall. And then when I wake up, then all of a sudden I don't hear them. I've had a lot of ET visits within these altered states of consciousness, where I get into a lower state of consciousness and all of a sudden I'll see them, I'll feel them. They'll be touching me. They'll be talking to me. So yeah, I don't know how they do it, because, they will just show up immediately once I'm in those altered states, and they're right there. So like the veil is very, very thin. It really is. And they are able to meet with us in these altered states, also be able to meet with us in lucid dream states. And I've had that happen as well. Two examples. You can see up here. Can you see that person up there? With the blue skin?
Yeah. And the yellow eyes?
Yeah, that's Flaley. She visited me about 2 years ago, and that's a portrait that Sue did. Sue and I worked for 3 or 4 days to get that forensic portrait done. That's exactly what she looks like. And she visited me about 2020? Yeah, 2020, I think it was. And she is, we believe she's Arcturian's peoples. So she's part Arcturian, and she's part Lyran. So you can see she has slits for eyes. She has cat eyes, and they slightly glow in the dark. Now, what's the other thing that's kind of familiar about her? What movie have you seen that there are beings that look like her?
If anything, I'd probably say Avatar.
Exactly. Where do you think Avatar is getting their ideas from? She looks very much like the Na'vi, very much. Even the same color eyes as them. And in the, even the Na'vi, their eyes kind of are bioluminescent and kind of glow in the dark. Same with hers. Her eyes actually glow in the dark in my bedroom. So she actually met with me in a lucid dream state here. And it was incredible because, like, the reason it wasn't a dream was because when I was in the process of falling asleep, I was all of a sudden in this dream state and I could see somebody crawling underneath my bed sheets. It was like if I was being awake. It was like if I was already awake, but I'm actually in a dream state. Somebody's crawling under my bed sheets. But then all of a sudden I became aware that I was choking on the back of my tongue. I couldn't breathe. Because what had happened was that she paralyzed me. And then when she paralyzed me, my tongue flapped the back of my throat and I'm like, I was suffocating. And so she released the paralysis just enough for me to be able to tilt my head back so that my tongue would fall back and I could breathe again. And then boom, she pulled me right back into that altered state, into that lucid dream state. And then once again, here I am, somebody's crawling under the bed sheets. And then she pops up front of the beach bed sheets like, surprise, it's me, like this. And like, it was crazy. And then we end up talking. And then I put my cheek next to her cheek and I'm touching the back of her head, you know, feeling like using my hands to kind of feel the textures of who she is. And she's doing a mirror thing of where I'm touching her. She's touching me as well. I touch the back of her neck. I touch her arms. Like, and she has like these coarse hairs on her arms. Her skin was like cool to the touch. And she was beautiful. She was just gorgeous. And she must have been like no older than like in her 20s. She just had this young energy to her. And we interacted for a bit, you know, and it was incredible. And then I actually got to see her again about a year and a half later. But that time, instead of her coming here, she actually pulled me up onto her ship in my astral body. And so I end up, you know, like trying to fall asleep, and all of a sudden, boom, I'm on board this ship in my non-physical body. I'm floating, but I feel exactly the same like I do right now. When you're in your astral body, you feel exactly like you do normally. It's like, except you're weightless. It's amazing. It's so liberating. But then I'm on this board, this ship that has like 50-foot ceilings. It's got almost like Roman columns built into the walls under the side. And then I felt myself, I'm flying down this alleyway, this hallway at tremendous speeds. And I end up at the end of this hallway. And then there's almost like this blue, so like a door that looks like a crystal. And then it opens up, and then there's a smaller room in there. And I could see three beings with the same color skin as her. They were, you know, but maybe 4 feet tall. And they had these white body suits, and they had like almost like a triangle red symbol on their necks. And then one of them starts to approach me, but her face was blurred out. And then they come up to me and gave me a hug. And then I realized that it was Thlaley, and I gave her a hug back. And then I'm back in my body again. So that, you know, like that kind of stuff happens. It was amazing.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back. And we are back. So let's hop right in.
You know, and another visitation I had that was very similar. It was the very first one that I had from a different star nation other than the Ponte, was in my apartment. And once again, I'm almost asleep and I hear somebody coming up the ladder in my bed, you know, up into my bedroom loft. I wake up and the sound is gone. I close my eyes, trying to get back to sleep. And then all of a sudden I hear, you know, somebody crawls up my ladder again and I can hear my duvet being ruffled around. I wake up and the sound is gone. And I'm realizing, wait, there's somebody here. Somebody wants to visit me. So the third time I allow myself to go under. And by the time I was almost unconscious, it's like she knew that I was at that point, and then she just like kicked me into it. And then I'm in this altered state dream where it's like, basically it's like I'm lying in bed on my side, like if I was awake, but I'm actually in a lucid dream state. And then I could feel there was somebody behind me, moving around. It was lying next to me, and they were just kind of like settling in and just kind of seeing how I would react. And then, I was fine. I wasn't scared at all. And then they get up. She grabbed my shoulder and she pushed my shoulder down. And then she sits on top of me. And here, sitting on top of me, is this reptilian woman. And she had like, her head was very large. It was almost like cloves of garlic, like three bulbous cloves of garlic. Her head was very large. She had very small scales on her face. It's like her whole body was covered in small scales. They were like light green. But along her neck, they were looked more like bluish green. They were a little darker and they went up across her ears and she had very small ears. She had like a small snout. She had a slit for a mouth and she had amber reptilian eyes. But she also had this coarse blue mohawk. She had a mohawk that like almost it was the coarseness of like horse hair, and it was hanging down like this because she's over top of me, right? And she's hanging down. She looked really punk rock. She was really cool looking, and she was hot looking actually too. And and then she takes my hand, and she's holding my hand. And I see her holding my hand, and she has three fingers. And I think she had a thumb, or just could have been three fingers. They were much longer than mine, and she had like inch long claws, really, really sharp claws. She takes my middle finger, and she puts it in her mouth, and then she starts sliding my finger across her bottom tooth. And it was one tooth, and it was razor sharp. It was really sharp. And I was like, going, whoa, what's this? And I end up waking up after that. But it wasn't, I'm not sure what exactly was going on there, but what an incredible experience to have a visitation like that. Like, I wasn't scared at all. I don't know what, I think she could have been Sauron. And what I mean by that is that there is a reptilian race that's indigenous to Earth. So you have to understand there are more species of reptilians than there are of like, birds. I've been talking about reptilians across the universe. There's thousands of different versions of reptilians throughout the universe. And there's also, some that are from other worlds. There are others that were indigenous to the planet who were here before the humans, but they live underground. So she could have been Sauroid. I don't know yet. I'm not really sure. But she introduced herself to me, and I would be very happy to meet her again. For sure.
I mean, considering that these things interact with you more on like the astral plane, it almost kind of makes me wonder if these things aren't necessarily physical in the means that we're thinking that they might be. Like, obviously, like when you astral project, you're still yourself, like you explained, but you're like a different energy form being of yourself. And especially considering that it seems like a lot of these things you've interacted with almost kind of interact, like similar to how like the paranormal interacts with our reality, that they're like not physical. You don't typically see them, but they're still able to move around objects and things. But when you can physically see them, once you get onto their plane and you're in the astral realm and you're away from your physical body and you're still your existing self, but in a consciousness form, I mean, maybe that's the reason why a lot of people don't necessarily believe in the clues that are all around them as far as these extraterrestrials go, is because it's like we can't comprehend the way that they physically exist, because unless you get into like the spiritual side of things, like that whole concept of just existing as consciousness doesn't necessarily like make sense to the average person. But I think these things are definitely like physical, but not physical in the sense that we are, because I still think that like your astral version of yourself is still physical, meaning that like when I had my astral traveling experiences, like you can move objects and things when you're in that realm. And I think that these things exist that way more so than anything. And I mean, there's the different variations of like reptilian races, like you'd mentioned. So I definitely think that there are other beings that are like physically within this universe like us, but all of these beings that are trying to elevate our vibration and actually try to help the human race.
For us to be able to meet with them. Yeah. Yeah.
I think that they are existing because on that higher plane and they aren't physical like we are.
Exactly. They're able to exist on physical planes, or planes that are beyond physical. And that's why they're trying to meet with us to help us raise our consciousness so that we can actually be able to interact with them, because we live in a very, very heavy dimension world. This dimension is very heavy for a lot of ETs. It's really hard on their system. This 3D to three dimensional, we're at a very, very low frequency. for this planet. But for them, they can exist. Some of them can exist in the physical form, or some of them can move into the other, you know, into the consciousness form. That's why I think the Ponte, when they come here, that they may not necessarily be exactly in physical form, but they're in maybe fourth or fifth dimension. But they can still interact physically, but I just can't see them. But when these star nations interact with me in these to dream states or these altered states, it's actually much safer. And the reason for that is because just think back to the movie War of the Worlds. What happened at the end of War of the Worlds? Why did the aliens that they were attacking die? Because they caught a cold, end up getting a virus. Their bodies couldn't deal with it. It's the exact same thing. So like if I was interacting with, Flaley or that reptilian in a physical form, they may have things on their bodies that would affect me that could possibly kill me, or something that I have that could possibly potentially kill them. But when you operate in these altered states, it's a much safer zone because there's no physical to worry about. So it's a lot more complicated than just, I want to see proof. You have to have proof. What do you mean? That's just a dream. No, it's not a dream. You weren't there. It's not a dream. The fact that I was physically choking before Flaley showed up, the fact that I heard, this reptilian in my room when I was in the process of falling asleep, when I wake up and I can't hear anything. I mean, I have so many interactions with star nation beings in altered states. It's not funny. And, I've been able to, somebody's, where I've in the process of falling asleep, and all of a sudden I feel somebody holding my hand, and then I'm able to release my hand from my physical body and squeeze their hand back in my astral body. I've been able to do that. So it just takes practice, learning how to do this kind of stuff. So, it's pretty cool.
See, that almost makes you kind of wonder too, if a lot of people had those standalone experiences, like you were mentioning, where nobody's around. I've had a plethora of people on the show that have talked about those firsthand experiences. It almost makes you wonder if you don't realize it, but you're actually in a consciousness form when you're having those experiences. And that's why nobody else seems to be around when that's happening, is because they single you out and almost like pull you out of your physical self. And if you're kind of going and obeying by the rules of like how that kind of stuff works, getting into like the biological drone concept that you kind of mentioned earlier in the show, if these things are intelligent species, and they seem to be definitely intelligent beings, then knowing that there's that whole idea about sickness, it would make sense for them to create some type of like biological drone that they would be able to pilot in order to be able to interact with us on a physical realm for the people that may not have a high enough elevated vibration in order to actually like experience these things. So rather than actually creating like a physical version of themselves, they could potentially get sick. Instead, they almost could create like a biological drone that they can almost like put their consciousness in, that if anything happens to it, they can just leave it, and then they're not attached to it because it's not another physical form of themselves, which again could be why it's so robotic, is because it could be kind of, I mean, it's definitely highly advanced compared to us, be able to create something biological like that. But to them, I mean, they may not be too far into that whole process of creating that yet. So maybe there is still some kind of kinks they got to work out. So it's almost like working almost like basic animatronics at this point versus like where it could be in another like 100 years from now, for example.
Yeah, interesting theory.
I know you have a lot more experiences pertaining to other stuff, but I figured I could have you back on the show a couple of times and maybe we get into your Bigfoot experiences. And of course, since you have constant communication with these things and you're always doing your music and everything, we can even kind of do some updates here and there as more stuff comes across and get into some more theories and ideas based on all this kind of stuff too.
There's so much to talk about. I mean, because I know a lot about the Ponte culture. Sue and I have done probably seven hours worth of interview material talking about what the Ponte have taught and what the Star Nations are teaching, the Sasquatch culture as well. I've had lots of encounters with Sasquatch here in Hamilton and also when I visit Sue and Otter in Albuquerque. So it's been a great honor. Like, they like me. They like me a lot, and they like the work that I'm doing. So I'm very honored to have them as friends.
Is there, at least for you, because I know everybody has their different ideas on this stuff, depending on what they're interacting with, but do you think that there's like a connection between these things and like a Sasquatch, for example, or do you think that that's something that's earthbound? Like what's kind of like your interpretation of Sasquatch, if if it's linked to these things at all.
You mean linked to like the ETs?
Yes.
Well, I know for a fact that Radar, my buddy, my Ponte buddy Radar, his best buddy is Kie, a 19-year-old Sasquatch. So they hang out together all the time. In fact, Kie, when I was visiting Sue and Otter last year, Kie was banging on the camper that I was sleeping in, waiting for me to go to sleep. Like, he went like that with the side of his knuckle, and I went outside, and he wasn't there. But it's not the first time that the Sasquatch have like done that. They've done that before when I sleep in the camper, and then the Ponte will tap on the camper as well, you know, letting me know that they're there. But you know, Sue told me last year that every time I went to sleep, like the Ponte were picking me up every night, and I was gone for a few hours, and then they would bring me back. But several of the nights last year, the Sasquatch were taking me to places. So I was actually hanging out with the Sasquatch, particularly the last Friday, which was a full moon, and they were doing a stomp and growl, which is literally what it sounds like, where two Sasquatch clans get together, and they kind of like, it's almost like a battle for the bands, you know, where like who can outdo the others, where they do like, you know, dances and stuff like that, and stomping and then breaking trees, or, you know, doing something, trying to do like showing off their strength. And apparently I was allowed to attend one of these ceremonies. I don't remember it, but, you know, Sue told me afterwards. So, and I know from the physical interactions, like, you know, when the Sasquatch banging on the camper, it makes a sense.
So, I want to actually kind of hit a couple of your, like, Sasquatch theories, ideas before we start wrapping up. So, like, as far as Sasquatch goes, like, what's kind of, like, your interpretation of these things? Do you think that they might be another extraterrestrial race, or do you think that they're, you kind of get into the interdimensional Bigfoot concept, or it almost seems like they kind of just pass each other within passing, going in between dimensions, and that's kind of, like, how they interact and know each other?
Well, actually, the best thing to read to get a good understanding of who the Sasquatch are is the book Sasquatch Message to Humanity, Conversations with Elder Camus, written by Sunbow. So Sunbow is a shaman. He actually is here. He lives up here in Quebec in Canada. And he basically telepathically, he got all these messages from Camus, who is a 10,000-year-old Sasquatch. So this book is a history of Earth from the very beginning, when it was still one continent. And he goes through the entire history of this planet and the history of their people, how they became to be, and our history as well, of what's happened to us, and gets into the controllers who control this planet, like the Cabal. And he even warns about the transhumanist agenda and what they're trying to do now. So it's a great thing to read, and the Sasquatch are—they're known as our elder brothers. They're a bit older than us. They too were genetically modified from primates here on Earth with other star nations. So we are the product of genetic manipulation as well from multiple different star nations. So and so are the Sasquatch, but the Sasquatch are much more advanced than we are. They can change into different dimensions, like a flick of a switch. They can be physical, or they can jump into dimensional. That's why they are the greatest hide and seeker winners ever. And that's why they can leave. That's why they can leave one footprint, only one footprint, because they'll be walking interdimensionally, jump out of it, leave one footprint just to screw you up, and then jump back into their other dimension and leave. They can do all kinds of stuff.
So I know everybody kind of has their different theories on Sasquatch. There's a lot of flesh and bloods out there, but I've had more people that I can count on the show that have talked about Sasquatch coming in the form of like orbs, where they'll see their faces and everything, and they'll interact with those orbs.
Yeah, I've got a picture of that. I do. I have a picture of that. We took it at the Chihuahua, the Psychic Sasquatch Conference in 2019. I was with Darrell Stokes, and he took all these pictures of orbs. And one of the pictures of the orbs he took, you see a Sasquatch face inside it. It was incredible.
So I had somebody on that was kind of throwing theories on it and basically saying that when you travel in between different dimensions, if you're not using some type of like vessel, you almost have to like condense your consciousness down. And he was kind of describing that the blue light condensed being of itself is basically how they travel interdimensionally, is that they can't normally do it in their typical physical form. So they have to condense their form into these like orbs, and then they're able to transform through different realities and dimensions.
Yeah, I believe it 100%, because when I was at that Psychic Sasquatch conference, Darrell and I went out, and he has the gift of being able to photograph the unseen world. And we took over 200 pictures of orbs. Some of these pictures of these orbs, there's like 10,000 orbs right there. It was like there's a pathway that goes up to the amphitheater, up to the mountains. And that pathway is like a vortex. So you can see where that, the pathway, it's clear, but then all the way around it is like nothing but orbs, like tens of thousands of orbs. In addition to that, we also photographed some fairies in those pictures too. So it's just wild.
We will be right back after this brief commercial break, so stay tuned. And we are back, so let's hop right in. See, talking about the whole like controlled narrative as far as all of this type of stuff goes, you know, with like older cameras, you could always pick these things up. And obviously it has something to do with the way that the picture gets captured itself versus like how they get captured now. And I mean, like we're updating our technology, so to speak. But I kind of wonder if, considering that they don't want this kind of stuff to be known to the general public, if not only is it that the technology is being updated and not able to capture these things, but they're also intentionally trying to make it so that these things can't get captured, because most pictures now on all the newest phones, they do like the AI correction on everything automatically. So if it catches anything weird or anomalous in the picture, before you're even aware of it, there could be AI now that's essentially taking it out, so that you could have like a perfect picture of something and it would just go boop. It's not supposed to be seen. And you would never even see that original picture before it gets modified by AI.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah. I know that when Darrell takes his pictures, he doesn't use a cell phone. He uses an actual camera. So, like a Nikon or Canon camera when he takes his pictures. So, we never had that problem. He just takes a picture. I mean, somebody else can take a picture with his camera and not take anything. Then he takes a picture and then things show up. He's been given this gift.
I was going to say, I think it's partly people's energy too, because I mean, it's an electronic device to begin with. And on top of the fact that your body naturally is putting out different energies and auras all the time, I'm kind of curious if it like can connect, and then that makes it so you're able to take those pictures. And I mean, even getting into like the whole blurry pictured concept, I mean, I had somebody on a long time ago that was talking about this whole idea behind, like, if you try to take some picture of something that's radioactive, it comes across on the screen as blurs because the particles are vibrating differently than the camera is able to perceive. And if these things are interdimensional, they are from a higher vibrational place. I mean, whether they're extraterrestrials or a Sasquatch, it completely makes sense that they're blurry in pictures if you're going by the same rationalization of why radiation, things that are heavily heavily radiated can't have pictures taken of them properly either.
I mean, there's a lot of factors involved.
And I mean, especially when it gets to the UFO stuff, when people have like the non-perfect pictures of UFOs, I mean, anybody that's had close contact with these things, they always talk about the radioactive aspect of these things and how people get like radiation sickness from being too close, which again could also be partly why they take your astral self seemingly more than they take your physical self. And if they do take your physical self, it seems like a lot of people have negative aspects that'll start happening to their body from being physically taken, because our bodies can't necessarily take that radiation, where these things that exist in another plane, in another reality, you know, radiation may not be damaging to them because if they're vibrating at a different, their particles are vibrating on a microscopic level different than the radiation is. The radiation might just pass through these things where it's hitting every one of our particles and causing radiation sickness to us.
Yeah, that's interesting. Yeah, never thought of that.
But kind of starting to wrap up towards the end then. And again, I'm definitely going to have you back on, because I know that there's a lot of other stuff that we can dive into. But I always like to leave the show on a higher note. Not that this has been a negative note by any means. It's been truly deeply inspirational. But if there's any words of wisdom that you could leave with the listeners, be it the musicians out there, the other experiencers, anybody, what might your word of wisdom be?
Well, I know that a lot of people would like to say, geez, I'd like to have contact too. How can I have contact? Well, guess what? I'm going to tell you exactly how you can have contact. Get down your piece, get a piece of paper and a pen and write this down. First of all, for extraterrestrials to have contact with you, they follow a strict protocol. There are three rules that they must follow. Cause no fear, do no harm, leave no trace. The biggest one being cause no fear. What that means is that you need to learn to overcome your fears and let go of your fears. I have zero fear. I have no fear of anything. You know, I've had a lot of experiences, and the reason for it is because I have no fear. So you have to get over your fear if you want to have contact. Okay, that's the first thing. Now, if you want contact, you need to practice your telepathy. I'm going to tell you how you can do that. You're going to go to officialfirstcontact.com. That's www.officialfirstcontact.com. You're going to go into the section and you're going to download the Telepathy 101 Primer. It is a free telepathy course that was written by Tani, the Ponte, written exactly by her. And it's about 346 pages. It's all pictures, actually. It's a very easy read. And follow the protocols in that to understand about how telepathy is communicated and learn your own personal telepathic abilities. You know, are you more of a seer? Are you more of an audio? Are you more of a telekinetic, like touching? How do you learn best? How do you communicate best? And you'll be able to figure out your strengths of your telepathic way you can communicate telepathically. Find a partner to work with. Find some people who you can practice your telepathy with, work with, and practice together to get positive feedback. If you practice a half an hour every day for 100 days, you will have contact. And it could be as simple as seeing a light up in the sky and then you saying to it, I see you, blink, blink, and all of a sudden it goes like that back at you. It could be as simple as that. You know, they'll interact with you at whatever level you're comfortable with. So that's how you can have contact.
Wow.
They gave you the keys to the Ferrari.
I was going to say that you're the first person that's ever told anybody how to do that directly on the show. So that's probably some of the best words of wisdom that have been shared on the show, to be honest with you.
Oh, thank you.
And for anybody that might want to come and find your music, find you on social media, even, possibly share some of their experiences and stories with you, where can people find your music and where can people find you at?
Oh, sure. Yeah. You can contact me at my website, pyramidsonmars.com. There's a section there. If you want to contact me, you can write in there and I'll get your messages. Follow me on Twitter at Pyramids on Mars _, or follow me on Facebook at Pyramids on Mars. I'm all over the place. And there's links from my website to my music as well, which will take you to Bandcamp and you can purchase other physical CDs or digital. And it's also on Spotify and stuff like that, but I really don't. I don't promote the streaming because I make no money off of that. So please support artists. We don't make much money anymore these days.
I mean, that goes universal for anybody that's doing any type of art or creation. Make sure you guys support everybody out there, man. They're making music, art, any of that, because realistically, yeah, they're doing it out of the passion for it. And everybody wants to get a little bit of a reward for the hard work that they put into something. So, if it wasn't for the people that are supporting everybody doing creation, then the creation wouldn't exist anymore. So everybody's got to make sure you support everybody out there. And I appreciate you making the time to come on today, man. It's been an absolutely fantastic conversation. And I'm really looking forward to next time you come on and hearing some more of your experiences and some more of your Sasquatch stuff.
Thanks, Shane. It was a great honor to be here. Thank you so much.
If you guys want to hear the song that he mentioned in today's episode, make sure you guys stay tuned after the outro to check it out. But if you guys enjoyed this episode, don't forget to leave a review or rating for the show on iTunes or Spotify. If you guys leave a 5-star review, I will read it on the show and give you guys a big shout out. If you guys want to keep seeing the show organically grow, you guys want to keep seeing it so that more people come into the community, we have even more bigger guests that come on the show, keep boosting up the show and the algorithms. I appreciate anything that you guys do. Leaving even reviews on Spotify, iTunes, putting the show on auto download, all of that contributes towards helping out the show to continue to keep growing. And of course, you guys can also share the show through word of mouth if you think anybody would enjoy this particular episode or the show as a whole. But as long as you guys are enjoying the show, that's what matters. And hopefully you guys enjoy the show to keep helping me expand the show organically. And if anybody wants to get a hold of me for any reason whatsoever, be it that you want to share some fan art, you want to have a conversation, you want to be a guest on the show, you want to have me as a guest on your show, you want to possibly sponsor the show, you guys can get up with me through email, social media, or the submission form, which is on the link tree. The email is inquiriesofourrealitypodcast@outlook.com. As far as social media goes, Instagram is the one I am the most active on, but Facebook is also definitely a viable option for getting a hold of me. And every single thing that I mentioned is all available in the link tree, which is available down in the show description. And with that, Hope you guys enjoyed the conversation, and I'll catch you on the next one. Have a good night, everybody.
Stop in and save big money on your next outdoor lumber project now at Menards. Menards has the largest selection of AC2 pressure-treated lumber and decking, and it's easy to load in our outdoor lumber yard. Plus, you can get free estimates fast with our deck design program in-store or on Menards.com. Check out our weekly flyer for more great deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Synovus.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.